Hi, and welcome to Sellers and Makers Podcast, a place artisans can come together in community, brought to you by Everything Embroidery Market. I'm your host, Hope Dale, and this is
Christina Schulman, and today we are speaking with Miss Lisa Shaw. She has Lisa Sew Bubbles, as well as she is an expert in Embrilliance, all things software here. So Lisa, if you don't mind just telling us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the world of embroidery.
Well, thank you for having me on your show. I feel like I've been doing this forever. I started in machine embroidery in the early 90s. My husband and I moved to Colorado, and I was sewing, doing craft shows and custom vests, groomsmen vests and bow ties and cummerbunds in their favorite, usually sports teams. So if I never see Broncos fabric again, it's too soon. I had to get a new sewing machine, and it was, I guess it was 92 or 93. And I went to the local dealer, and they had this one that had the computer hooked into it, and it was able to do embroidery. And there was no software yet, but I said, well, this is pretty cool because my background is computers. I had, before we moved to Colorado, I worked for the Pentagon. So I did computer war simulations, and I was in computers, and it was marrying what I was kind of familiar with the creative that I was working in. So back then there was no internet. It was chat rooms, sort of. You would get a digest of messages when you joined a crafting email list.
Yes.
Because there was no lessons, there was no YouTube, there was no Facebook, there was nothing. I joined a couple of these and made some really great friends online that nowhere near me, right, as far as location wise go. I started with I ordered my software. We were chatting and learning about it. And there was another woman online. Her name was Lisa. And she had more computer background than I did. And she developed this little program called Buzz Tools. And she said, hey, do you want to try this out? And it allowed us to see our designs and print color change sheets, which was huge. Yes. And then they created this conversion program so we could use other formats. And I was using her software, and she says, you know, you're answering so many questions online. Do you want to get paid?
Yes, I do. Yes.
I hadn't met her yet. So she hired me because of what she saw online. It was actually kind of funny.
Yes.
And what's also amazing is that this was all women. This wasn't, yeah, it was 99% women in this group, and yes, not young women. These are, yes. So I was the youngest. I felt like I was the youngest one in this group. So it was amazing to me that so many women were branching out with computers, buying laptops that they were lugging around with their, you know, it was amazing.
Because they were big.
I was about to say, those laptops weren't small, what we see today. Those are some big honking things.
Exactly. It was, you know, you could come in and you see my first time I taught a class, I felt like I was teaching all grandmas because they were all older than I was, lugging in gaming computers. I mean, these are, it was a trip, and it was awesome to see they no fear.
Yes.
They weren't going to give up. They were going to conquer this and use their software. So where I started.
And to them, it was them, their gaming, right? Like that was their fun. They're like, I need my big old computer, my equipment, and I'm going to make some stuff. So I love that. They just jumped right in.
Yep.
And the rest is history, huh? So you taught that first class, and then what happened?
And then, I just kept on going from there. I worked for Buzz Tools for about 15 years, and I got kind of bored because I did all their tech support. I did all of their social media that was just starting, really. I mean, Facebook just started. And one of the questions I kept getting was, will Buzz Tools work on Mac?
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it didn't.
Yes.
So I had been friends with Brian Bailey for years. He had a competing software with the Baby Lock version. And he said, hey, Lisa, I got this Mac program. I'd like you to try it out. It was called Embrilliance. And I said, all right.
Yeah. And
what I could
challenge.
Do.
Challenge.
And so I went from when I was working at the Pentagon, I was on Mac, switched to Windows to do the BuzzTool stuff. Now switch back to Mac 15 years later, whole learning curve all over the place. But I've always been independent. As far as I didn't really work for a company, I've always been a contractor. Mm-hmm. So it was just a transition and something new. So that's where I am now.
Yes. And I'm sure you enjoy the challenge, you know, trying something a little bit new. Now, Embrilliance works on other, not just Mac now, right? Or is it?
It's Mac and Windows.
Yes.
The only software that was developed simultaneously from the ground up. I mean, Brian's a programmer.
Yes.
So when he developed Embrilliance, you don't need Parallels. You don't need to put Windows on your computer. It's native. So Mac, native Windows. And if it was easy, everybody would do that. And it's not.
Yes.
It's not like you write one program and poof, it works on both.
Right.
Yes, no, for sure. So my husband, his degree was electronics engineering technology. So he does or used to do some more of the programming type stuff. And so while it's kind of over my head, I do know that they don't talk to each other. And it's, to be able to do that at the same time is almost like a unicorn. You don't find it.
No. But what's awesome is now in my classrooms, I don't have to worry about, who has Mac, who has Windows. It's pretty much, I don't care what you got.
Yes.
Right. No, I was in college. I was strictly Mac for a very long time, actually, until my laptop died. And then it was just because of where I was working at the time, I just went to Windows. But it was like after our campus was a Mac campus. So everything was around that and it made it a lot easier. I understand like that would be so confusing going into a class and having to have to worry about one or the other. It's so beautiful that you get both.
Yes.
And they work together. It's not like some piggyback type of situation.
Yes. Okay. So exactly. Tell me about Lisa Sew Bubbles and how those two. Tell me.
Okay. My nickname in high school was Bubbles. That's where the Sew Bubbles comes from because I started doing the sewing and then I was doing crafting. So it all kind of just became Sew Bubbles. And it's my contracting company and I'm independent and I pretty much teach machine embroidery. So I do my after hours under Sew Bubbles. It allows me to be a little fun, a little carefree. I teach the Embrilliance and I do the Embrilliance YouTube as Embrilliance because you can't drink beer and do YouTube videos while you're teaching also software. But I can for my own.
That's right. So for people that aren't familiar with what after hours is, tell them that and then about your channel.
Okay. Well, every Tuesday, this was another thing. I was getting bored again. I can't travel all over the place because it was actually pre-COVID when I started it. But on Facebook, on Tuesday nights, on my Facebook page, which is Facebook/Tuesday nights, I do what I call after hours. I'm done working. So we kind of let our hair down and have our adult beverage and we talk about what we love. And what I love is machine embroidery. Yeah. So we do some classes and it became so popular that as far as the online classes go, I started a subscription channel through Vimeo, which you can also get information on my Facebook page or my website. So it's a monthly subscription and it has exclusive videos, lets me share some information, classes like that. So I've been doing that for 2 years.
Yeah. I saw you just uplit. Was it the 100? You had 100 videos now. I was like, dang, Lisa.
I know. Awesome. It's just, I have lots to say.
Well, that's phenomenal. And if you guys aren't familiar with Lisa, so she has been gracious enough to be one of our vendors and teachers at Everything Embroidery Market for, I don't know, as long as I've been involved with Everything Embroidery Market. And every single show, people come to the show specifically for your classes and they leave excited that they went to your classes and they can't wait to go next time. So you have to come to Myrtle Beach and take one of her or all of her classes. They sell out every time. You just have a knack for teaching. And I think that your excitement and just determination to make sure that the people in your class know, like leave knowing what they came to learn, I think is something that shows in your classes. So I don't know. If you haven't come, you should come.
Well, as you know, I love teaching. I mean, yeah. I love to see the light bulbs go off. Yes. And that started in the very beginning when I had all the young ladies in my class.
Yes.
You know, you're only as old as you feel. You know, I came from the background where computers were hard. Mm-hmm. And everyone came in, all their husbands all did it for them. The computers were a scary thing. And then all of a sudden you'd see all the light bulbs going up like, oh, this isn't hard. I can print my own stuff. I can save my own stuff to my machine. Mm-hmm. And it's so empowering. And that's one of the reasons I love teaching the software is because you see the light bulb go off where they're like, oh my God, I can do this. And then I see them at the next show or they post a photo online. They're like, look at what I did. It's like,
yes. Yes. Well, and I think you're right. A lot of people love to receive embroidered items. And then they sometimes will then venture into doing it themselves. But when it comes down to the digitizing, they're just intimidated. And yeah. They're like, I could never do that. I see this picture. I'm afraid to even attempt to start the digitizing process. And so I could see how that would be really rewarding to watch someone go from I'm afraid to try it to now I'm successfully doing it. I think that would be fun to watch. Yes.
It is.
I'm actually one of those people that at one point I was like, I'm going to learn digitizing. I still have not. One day I'll be able to sit in on one of your classes.
We're too busy at the show.
I know. I know. You're going to have to go to another show for that.
No, well, I do watch some of your after hours. I think those are so fun. They're so fun. And people like will jump in and ask questions. And that's a cool little thing you got going on there, Miss Lisa. I love the community that you've built. Okay. So we're going to change gears a little bit. Not too much, but when it comes to machine embroidery, besides the digitizing portion, what is your very favorite part? Is it the social media aspect of the business? What is it?
Oh my.
Surprise.
Here. I'm like, I'm trying to find one thing. I mean, of course I love the social media part. I didn't think I was actually a late bloomer to social media. I'm like, oh, they're all going to know everything about me. And I didn't want to be on video. And it was kind of crazy. But so I love the social interaction. I love the sharing of ideas that go along with it. But then I also get it's very relaxing to me to be in my sewing room, bring out something that is naked, you know, a blank, and start embellishing it or add embroidery to it and just be in my own zone, choose the colors. Oh my gosh. I just organized my thread wall yesterday. And I'm one of those people, I don't put it in a drawer. Mine is on the wall because I want to see all those luscious colors.
Yes.
And so I have a rainbow on my wall right now. I'm like, I'm so pleased with that.
And it's pretty. Yeah. So my husband made, he made like a pegboard and we have like all the little dowels in it with the thread on it. It was a handmade version of what you can buy at some of the different embroidery stores and whatnot. But I love it too. I try and do from like light to dark and it just kind of, nice and pretty. And then my kids come in and pull them off and then I get frustrated. But So you love the actual art of creating the product itself. If you guys, I mean, obviously you're listening to us as a podcast, you're not looking. Miss Lisa has on a beautiful, she did the neckline embroidery. Don't mess it up. So she's got beautiful neckline embroidery that I'm assuming you did. That's one of the hot things right now. So that and patches, tell us a little bit about if someone were to want to do some neckline embroidery, what is like your biggest tip? Because I know it can be tricky and people, another thing that people are intimidated to try if they've never done it.
Well, with anything embroidery, since you said trickiness, I'll tell you, the first time I bought a ready-to-wear jacket, it was probably a $50 jacket. We're talking, this is a few years ago, and I wanted to add embroidery to it. And all I could think of is like, oh my God, what if I ruin this?
Yes.
So one of the nice things is when you mentioned patches, the first time I did embroidery that I on for something, I actually stitched it on organza.
Okay.
So I did the embroidery. Organza is a type of a stabilizer. You can use it as a cutaway.
Yes.
So it's a very stable material. And I hooped my organza all by itself. I did two layers because I wasn't sure. Stitched my embroidery design, trimmed it out. And then I like to hand sew. So I hand stitched my embroidery designs on my jacket. So if you're afraid of doing something, don't be afraid of a little bit of hand sewing.
Yeah. Trying it a different way.
Yeah. And I know people, once I did that jacket, I embroidered a lampshade and I did it the same way. I didn't actually embroider the lampshade. I embroidered the organza and put it on the lampshade.
Okay.
Eventually I did embroider a lampshade. Wouldn't ever do that again.
I was like, I would be a nervous wreck.
Oh, it was from the thrift store. I do a lot of my sampling and experimenting on thrift store stuff because you don't want to ruin that $50 jacket or purse or whatnot.
That's a great tip.
Yes, so, good tip.
Some thrift store shopping and then
you make it brand new.
Yeah.
Now, the best thing about most of our thrift stores have a special day. So the one I like to frequent every Tuesday is everything in a couple bins is only a quarter.
Ooh.
It's like how they move their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I head out there with my cash.
Yes. I got $5 and I'm leaving with the whole bag.
You know, I belong to the American Sewing Guild. And one of our mottos is if it doesn't fit, it's fabric.
Yes.
So and if you happen to, if one of the things like practicing placement, if it doesn't work out perfectly, well, you donate it again and they'll either put it back in the quarter bin or they'll be like, oh, this goes in Bob's shop rags.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't make a difference. It goes back prettier than it came.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that so much. Now, do you still have that first jacket that you made?
Yes, I do. We're not going to say if it fits anymore.
It could be, maybe it needs to be in a shadow box on the wall. My very first.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. So now back to business. You are really, really good at social media. I know you said that you were nervous. You were a late bloomer when it comes to that, but you just do a really good job engaging with people. And that's something that I hear just from our customers for Love That Cotton. Sometimes I'll hear people be like, how do I create a community? How do I create the connection with people online when I can't see them face to face? How do I make them feel like it's more of a personal interaction? And you do a really good job at that. So I thought maybe you would share just any kind of tip with that.
Well, one of the things is the one of the reasons I didn't like social media is because it felt like you were in a glass jar. And one of the tips I have, or one of the things that helped me, was thinking of it more like being at a trade show, seeing the people in person, bringing them into just a little bit into your life. You don't have to show everything, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in complete sharing things.
Yes.
But like on my Sew Bubbles page during COVID, we got Oscar. I don't know if you're familiar with Oscar.
Yes.
We'll
talk about him.
Car here.
Is he here?
No.
Oh.
He'd be right here if he was here. So Oscar's a rescue puppy and he's become part of my social media. We kind of chat a little bit about Oscar and I share pictures of him, and it's just something I can bring in that makes it a little bit more, first of all, it's a dog. So it's not like you're bringing in your family drama or anything like that. It's just something I have. I watched it from a friend who actually brought her gardening into her. Mm-hmm. She's a knitter and she brings gardening into hers. So just so you'll see her with her gardening gloves on and in her jeans and just a little bit of reality. Yes. So, you know, everyone can relate to that. Yeah. And they're like, oh, you know, she has a dog and he does weird things and whatnot.
Yeah, I think that's a really good piece of advice. You find what's important to you, whether it's your dog, your gardening, you like to ride horses, or you like to find shop designer bags, whatever it is that makes you you. If you bring that to your community, you're going to attract other people that's important to them.
It's another bonding point.
Right. So you become, you have your community, and then you guys can chat about what your business is. And then also whatever it is that,
Oscar.
Yes. Okay. So he's two now. How old is he?
He's two. Terrible twos.
And he's so cute. So he's brown and white. Describe him. He's got like,
he's a Heinz 57.
Okay. Yes.
We were told he was a cattle dog mix. And we've always had Australian Shepherd cattle dog-ish herding dogs.
Yes.
So that's what we were told he was. So we had the DNA done on him.
Okay.
And he is no cattle dog at all.
No cattle dog.
He's part chow, pit bull.
Chow?
Yeah.
I would have never thought.
Oh, wait a minute. Bichon Frise. Those are the three big ones.
No.
The little white fluffy dog?
Yes.
There is no, the only white fluffy dog bit he got is the part that wants to be on your lap.
That's so funny. I would have never guessed. Yeah. I have a dog. We've got a couple dogs, but my son named him. His name is Carlos. And we got him also the shelter dog. And he's such a love bug at home. He doesn't really like other people. So he's a very good guard dog, but he loves our family. And when we got him, they said that he was, what is it? A lab and border collie mix, because he's black and he has a little bit of white here on his chest area. But I'm pretty sure he's 90% pit, maybe a little, I don't know. Maybe I need to do the DNA and we'll get some answers. But he's the best dog, you know, and you just love him. Maybe I need to bring him on my Facebook a little bit.
You should. Well, one of the reasons we did the DNA was because we've had dogs always, mm-hmm. and they've always been easy to train. And I couldn't train Oscar for anything. He's not food motivated at all. I'm like, what's wrong with me? There must be a problem with me. No, it's his breeding.
Yeah. Well, and those cattle dogs are very food motivated and they want to please. They have that.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
But I didn't know any dog that wasn't food motivated. I don't know. Maybe all my dogs are food motivated when it comes to training.
Yeah. It's funny. We go on a walk. My girlfriend Kay, who also, she was in, I've been through training with Oscar for 2 years. We've been through puppy kindergarten. We've been through polite greetings. I mean, and I shared that on my social media. Me and me start diplomas. So
graduated.
Kay's puppy is Gracie, and she's as Brittany Spaniel.
Yes.
And Gracie and Oscar are best friends. So they do everything together. Yes. And it's kind of funny because we'll go on a walk together and we give each other's dogs treats, mm-hmm. because we're doing recall and trying to get them trained. Well, Oscar takes a treat in his mouth, swirls it around, and spits it out if he doesn't like it. I don't feel like, you know, salmon today.
Yeah.
So I had a dog that wouldn't accept treats from others. Oh. Like, she was a chocolate lab. Like, she loved treats, but like if it was a stranger or like at the vet and one of the techs or the vet gave it to her or anything, she wouldn't take it. Or like she would take it and then she'd put it down. Like, I don't know about you.
Huh.
Like,
that's a smart dog.
I mean, she was really smart. I was always just like, what? But there was like, if she did not know you, she would not eat the treat until like I would pick it up and give it back to her.
She's like, Oscar just doesn't like treats. Now, does he eat okay? Like, he's good with food? It's just the treats?
It's been a challenge.
His own little dog.
Dude, he's got his own personality. So
yeah,
you guys may give me some criticism for this. It sounds like my son Connor. Like, he just does, he does whatever he wants, and he might love it. But if he doesn't want you to know he likes it, and so he's just gonna nope, I don't want it.
I mean, it just sounds like a 2-year-old. Honestly,
he does.
Yeah. No. Well, maybe we can make it, both of us, because he's a year and a half, just over a year and a half. We'll make it through the terrible twos, and then. Next year or so, we'll be like, glad that's over, right?
Yeah.
That was fun. We should talk more about animals. Goodness. So yeah, you guys, we're Sellers and Makers podcast. We'll talk about the family, the dogs, the embroidery.
Okay. Well, they are such an integral part of our life.
Yes, they are. Is supposed to be about how we build our community, and our dogs are part of it.
Absolutely. Right? Absolutely. So I'm curious though, besides machine embroidery, do you dabble in any of the other trades? You said you like to hand sew. What about, do you quilt, do vinyl? Do you do any of that kind of stuff?
I've tried a lot of, that's a loaded question.
They're like, I'm never going to come on here again. You ask me all these questions.
No, I guess when it comes to equipment, I try and stay away. I try to stay just with machine embroidery. I do a lot of handwork. I really enjoy knitting. I enjoy crocheting, needlepoint. My eyes are getting a little bad. I've painted, and I use those more as my outlet. So it just... it's something that I can just fiddle with. As far as needing equipment and supplies, I really have to keep it.
I understand. Yes.
I got in big trouble. A few years ago, my husband took a job in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And that was his choice, whatever. So I said, I'm not moving to Virginia. I'm staying here. Well, so he was there for 3 years, which meant the whole house was mine, which meant all the different things that I did took over the whole house. Why do I need to stay in my office? Yeah. So I had my silhouette and all the vinyl stuff on the dining room table. I had this part. So I had my stuff all over the place. And when he came back, I had to, put everything back and scale back. So I stick with handwork in my free time. And,
So what you're saying is he's going to be mad if he listens to this because I may have opened Pandora's box back up. no vinyl. Hey, I get that. I get that too. I have sometimes I have to just say, I am only going down this aisle because my mind is, I think a lot of creatives are like that though. You know, you're like, I could do that. Maybe I should do that.
We were in Chattanooga, and I would walk by the laser booth, Epilogue laser, like, oh, wow. And then they give you the little sample of what it can come like, oh, I can cut all my fabric out on this. Oh, I can do all this engraving. I'm like, no. And then you go into the white toner booth. Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
I know. Exactly. I know.
I can do that.
It's not.
But do I have the space to do that? That's my biggest thing is like, I have my one room that all my stuff's in. And if I go past that, then my kids get into it. And then that's a problem. Yeah. And yeah, it's like, but all the time I'm like, oh, I could totally do that. I could do that.
Yeah. So my oldest fell in love with that laser too. And I'm sure you saw her over there just watching it. I mean, it's really neat to watch it. It almost puts you in a trance, and it just, I don't know. And so she watched it and watched it and watched it. And by the end of the show, she bought a tumbler from Wild About Me Blanks that was right next to them. And then they engraved it for her right then. And she was like, okay, mom. So my embroidery machine, her name is Big Bertha. And so she's like, Big Bertha needs a friend. Big Bertha needs a friend. It was like, well, She might, but what she needs is a twin. She needs another, we need another big birth that we don't need that. And she's like, well, it can't be that expensive. And I was like, well, it's not just about that. Like, I can't, yeah. I can't. Mama, like, we got two businesses, sweetheart. we got to focus. And she's like, well, maybe I'll save my money. And I was like, okay, babe, you save your money and you can get that laser and I will help you put it to use. I promise, because they're so cool. But yes. My husband would have been upset if I came home with that.
Yeah, it's hard to stay focused, though. At one point I did so many different jobs and I just got all scattered, and I'm just at so much more peace with myself that I'm just, doing machine embroidery.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So let's talk about that.
Open that one.
Yeah. We don't have to get too deep, but like, when you're feeling like you're being pulled in a lot of directions, have you found anything that helps bring you back to center? Because I struggle with that sometimes, a lot of times, every day. So
it's hard. Yes. I mean, especially as women, we are pulled in 50 directions mm-hmm. every day on a regular basis.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when I started adding so many different things. I was doing tech writing and project management and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I did really need to see a therapist for a while just to help, like a life coach, say, okay, you need to prioritize. Otherwise, you're just, I don't want to do everything halfway.
Yeah.
I want whatever I do, it's I'm all in.
Yeah.
So, but I don't want to take that as a, I don't want my family to suffer. I don't want my health mm-hmm. to suffer. So I needed to. Yes. Set some priorities. I do find that if I take the time to almost do like a self meditation during the day, just to shut everything off. And then as soon as I come back, I realize, okay, this is what the priority needs to be for today. And I can get focused mm-hmm. again.
Yes.
It's, our lives are complicated. And self-care is very important.
Yeah. Well, it's never being able to turn things off. Like mm-hmm. your computer, your phone, you're constantly connected. So even when you go home before, when you worked, even if people were working later hours, when they went home, they were home and away from the stuff. Now it's like, it's hard to put it away. I mean, Christina and I email each other at 11:30 and it's like, what are you doing awake?
And I'll be like, I'm emailing. And then I'm like, but you shouldn't be answering me. Like, don't answer me right now. Just because I'm awake, you should be asleep. But also, if I don't get this out right now, then I won't be able to sleep because it'll swirl around in my brain.
Well, it's also tough because we all work out of our house too.
Mm-hmm. So there's no like turning it off. The boundary isn't there. And sometimes it is like, okay, I got to put my boundary up today because I need it for like my mental health to like do the right things or, I believe that it is so much harder. Like, I love working out of my home, but I do believe it is harder to turn it off.
Yes.
You don't leave the office. You don't, you don't just turn it off. It's just so hard when you're here. You're like, oh, I can send that email. I can do this. I can do that. And then you realize it's 11:30 at night and you're like, oh, wait.
I should probably go to sleep now. Yeah. For me, I really struggle with turning it off, period. But I've tried very hard to make my weekends, because that's when my kids are home. And I mean, mm-hmm. Let's be honest, I have two with me every day, all day. And the other ones are at least at school. And so on the weekends, there's stuff that comes up, but I try really hard to make it about family, because if I don't have that, then I just go absolutely insane.
Absolutely. Insane. I mean, I find, of course, before a show or before an event that I'm doing, of course, that crunch time, got to get all boxes packed and samples made, but try to keep those weekends free.
Right. Yes. Well, and some people, it may be a more, every Wednesday, or maybe it's the evenings, or whatever works for you. I just, in when it is, gearing up for a show, that's a lot. It's a lot to do. And sometimes it's a whole lot of fun. Sometimes it's a whole lot of stress, but it is, I try to look at it as this is a small period of time. Mm-hmm. We get through this and then, okay, now let's go back to weekends being for us, you know?
Right.
So, okay. So we're back. We had a little moment.
Technical difficulties.
Yes. So sorry about that, but we're glad we figured it out and we're back on here. And so we won't keep you too much longer, Miss Lisa, but I wanted to kind of circle back to embroidery a little bit and tell us about what, if you could pick any embroidery machine or what would it be? Any for any reason, a single needle, multi-needle, commercial machine, anything.
Okay, well, I this is like a huge topic for me. That's kind of funny. Again, that's not a little question. To be honest, I have never met an embroidery machine that I couldn't find something to love about it.
Okay.
So there's, they all have their features that are fabulous.
Yes.
As soon as Brother came out with their multi-needle, though, I mm-hmm. had to have one. So I have one of the very first ones. It takes a floppy disk.
Okay.
And compact flash, and it's still running, so I can't get rid of it.
Yeah,
it's a 2002. It was when the first ones came out, so it's a fabulous machine. I will say I'm not into getting a commercial machine, simply because, and it sounds weird, but even though I don't follow the colors on my screen, I do like the picture to look normal.
Yes.
The crazy, green bunny with blue and red eyes just drives me nuts. I can't get into that not knowing a beige color should be somewhere in the design, you know?
Yes. Hey, I completely understand that. I have a Brother also. I have one of the 10 needles. It's not the floppy one, but I looked into some of the more commercial machines, and while maybe I would dabble in it now that I have more experience, when I was first looking, I was like, this one's so user-friendly. This is it. So, I get that being something for sure. And they're workhorses, like you said, like it's still going.
They are. My newest machine that I have in my house, I just got the Janome 550, which is a single needle machine, which is kind of funny because everyone says, oh, you have a multi-needle. Why don't you just get another multi-needle? Like, well, I would like to stay relevant with the home market of people that have single needle machines. And I wanted a USB machine.
Yes.
And it just takes a little different getting used to, but it's nice. You know, I use the machine. I don't use any of the onboard stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't need a scanner or any of the other stuff. That's too much confusing to me. So I just want to be.
No, hey, I get that too. And you don't have to have a multi-needle machine to have a beautiful embroidery design.
Yes.
That's a really good point. A lot of people don't. And a lot of people use a single needle machine for business. So. Yeah. It doesn't have to be just, I think that's people's fears. I can't start a business because I only have a single needle, or I can only afford a single needle.
How many people did we interview in the first season? And everybody said, I started out with the Brother PPE, like 770, the single needle.
Yes.
And, like so many people are like, I started doing that. And then all of a sudden I was doing all of my monograms from that little one with the little, space. And like all these people started on it.
Yep.
Know what your business is going to be. If the majority is going to be doing ball caps and especially structured ones or anything like that, you need to take the time and invest in a commercial machine. It's the tubular hat embroidery or even the flat embroidery hoop for a commercial machine is just going to be so much, you're going to get better results. You shouldn't, time is money, and trying to force your little flatbed machine to do, curved items is just going to be not a good investment of your time. So,
my suggestion is always go as big as you can, especially embroidery field too, because you're going to outgrow the 4x4, the 5x7, as big as you can afford. And then, you know, you'll, but if all you can afford is a single needle, you can start, don't be afraid to start there, like the smaller one. Don't be afraid to start there. And then you can go up and, you know, get the next one and the next one until you have ultimately what it is that you want.
So. Right. Set your goals. I mean, if you, I know many people have started with the PE 770, mm-hmm. that's low, very economical entry level workhorse machine.
Yes.
Before you start investing in a second one, so that you have two machines at one time, start setting your money aside to invest in a commercial type machine.
Yes. Yes.
It is an investment, mm-hmm. but it's going to be worth it a long time because you're going to be able to do things faster. The hooping is easier and go from there.
Yes.
But
yeah, I know one lady that I'm friends with, she started doing it on the side, embroidery on the side, just to pay for her kids to go to camp. And now, like 2 years later, she was able to buy another machine because she has so much work that she's doing. And she just had like her best month ever and like all this stuff. I'm like, that is awesome.
Yep. That's so exciting.
It is exciting.
One of the women in my class, and this goes back to the light bulb moments. Mm-hmm. She signed up for one of my hands-on classes and mm-hmm. she had regret before class started. She says, I don't think I'm good enough. I'm smart enough to take this class. I said, that's why you're taking the class. We are going to get you to where it is. Once the light bulb went on, she is now paying her mortgage embroidering baseballs. That is all she does. So she has three single needle machines because they're a lot easier to do baseballs and applique on than a multi needle. And she's paying her mortgage off.
That's awesome. That is awesome.
That's incredible.
Yeah. And it just goes to show, like, just try it. Self-doubt should, you know, just try it. Step out of your comfort zone a little bit. And if you put the work in, you can be successful. There's no reason if you just keep working that you can't be. So I love that. Okay.
That's why I love going to the show. Cause I heard all of these like awesome stories about how successful all these people have been. And they just started with this little machine or, you know, the different ways they started, or they didn't even really mean to start, but someone asked them if they could do it and it kind of snowballed. Mm-hmm. Like, I find that so fascinating. And now they're paying their mortgage and they're able to open their own storefront. Like, I love hearing those stories.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yep. That makes it all worth it. And
it does.
So we'll do a quick little plug here for everything embroidery market. We would love to see you. Our very next show is going to be September 22nd through the 24th. And it's going to be in Myrtle Beach. At the Myrtle Beach Convention Center. Miss Lisa Shaw is going to be doing two hands-on workshops that Thursday afternoon, and then teaching several classes both Friday and Saturday. So we don't have registration quite open yet. Well, it may be open once this podcast actually comes out, but if not, it will be very, very soon. And we would love to see you. If you are someone who is thinking about starting a business or just getting into embroidery, vinyl, sublimation, anything garment decorating, this is the place for you. We have Lisa and lots of other instructors that have a passion for the industry and want to watch you be successful. And so, Miss Lisa, do you want to tell everyone where we can find you?
Well, in addition to everything embroidery market, I just hope people do take a chance and come to a trade show.
Yes.
I mean, the networking and education is worth its weight in gold. It's definitely worth the entrance fee to get there. And I love that you've made it so affordable for people to get the education and the networking available to them. In the East Coast location, everyone's always looking for an event on the East Coast. Myrtle Beach is going to be the place to be in September.
Yes,
absolutely. To find me online regularly, though, Sew Bubbles. So it's either my website, sew-bubbles.com, or on Facebook, you can find me at Sew Bubbles, Instagram, Sew Bubbles, YouTube, Sew Bubbles.
And it's SEW Bubbles.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Sewing Bubbles.
Yes. So So Lisa, thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us today. It's always a pleasure. You are an inspiration. And I know that I look forward to chatting with you. I look forward to seeing you again in Myrtle Beach. And I know so many of our attendees and listeners will too. And again, join us in Myrtle Beach. You can sign up when registration opens at everythingembroiderymarket.com. And we'll see you there.
See ya.
Bye.